This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA plus community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
How you doing, everyone? We're Human Nature, and you're listening to Saturday Magazine on Joy 94.9.
You are. Who was that?
Human Nature.
It was. I thought it was. Yeah, sorry. I hadn't put the headphones back on. I just heard the laugh.
I had so much fun going through your...
I know. Now, we're a slight change of pace here. We've gone from the International Criminal Court. And we're speaking now with Heather Corkill. Heather has recently become the legal director of Equality Australia. Good morning, Heather. How are you today?
Good morning. Very well. And you?
Oh, look, living the dream. Living the dream. I want to talk to you first off, Equality Australia, and I'm going to give a shameless plug to this. I think it's the 15th of April. You're holding an election forum in Sydney. And that is going to be rebroadcast on Saturday Magazine on the 19th of April. Go to Equality Australia. It's available. You know, it's online. You can go to it. So I encourage people to do that. So that's the shameless plug. And we can do that because we're not being paid and it's not advertising. Equality Australia has done some new polling, and I'd like you to tell us about that. Who did it for you and what it found? But also, you've got some really useful advice, travel advice for trans folk. Let's deal with the travel advice for trans folk first, if we can, Heather.
Absolutely. So just wanted to do the boring and necessary legal disclaimer before we get into this.
Yeah.
Of course, for you, for anyone who is thinking about travelling to the US, you do need to get your own independent advice, and everything we'll be telling you is very general today. But there's really three key things I think we want people to be aware of. People need to be aware of the very serious risks of travelling to the US at the moment. Secondly, people do need to take steps to prepare if you decide you need to travel. And thirdly, you need to stay informed and keep a watching brief because it is changing all the time. The people most at risk that we're concerned about are those with X passports, trans people as well, especially those who have entered before, perhaps on another name or gender, those who have a gender expression that doesn't necessarily align with the documentation, or who may have different documentation, perhaps between their birth certificate and their passport, and then also any LGBTQ+ people with any sort of public profile, any sort of history of activism that could be found out fairly easily. These are the groups that we are particularly alerting.
Okay. So can I just ask, if I'm travelling to the US and my passport doesn't say male, it doesn't say female, it says something else, will I be granted entry?
So there's a lot of potential risks involved. At the lower end of the scale, it could involve some humiliation or additional questioning at the border. At the absolute worst case scenario, we're talking about potential arbitrary detention and even permanent bans from the US. Oh. The risk is particularly there for those with an X passport because now the USA doesn't recognise that option. Those who perhaps have a visa now with an X recognition of the X gender marker may be okay, but particularly anyone who's going to be entering from now is at risk.
Right.
The sort of things that can happen is that, you know, firstly, you've got to get through the visa and process. So there's an ESTA application and only biological genders assigned at birth, their wording, not mine, is what is recognised. So you will need to disclose that firstly, and then that's only the first step. You may be granted the visa, but it's actually at the admission to the US port of entry that there's another process as well.
Yes.
Because the Customs and Border Protection officers are not even the same agency as the people who grant the visas, and they have strong powers and discretionary powers to deny entry, ask questions, detain people, take people's phones, And at the moment, we are hearing about mistreatment. In fact, even deliberate misgendering, mockery, targeted questioning, these are the sort of things that people could face.
Yep. That's pretty unfortunate. Now, you've commissioned some polling. First off, may I ask who did it for you and what that polling found?
Yes, that polling was with Redbridge. So they were engaged by Equality Australia to conduct the research to identify the extent of support from our communities, but also the relevance of LGBTQ plus issues for the general public when they're deciding who to vote for. So we had a polling of over 1,000 people and also two focus groups, which involved soft Liberal and soft Labor voters. And we got really encouraging results. You know, what we've taken away is Australians are generally very supportive of the LGBT community and stridently oppose any discrimination and bullying, and particularly don't want to see trans issues being politicised for political gain.
So can you give us a handle, Heather, on some of those figures? You know, where did they sit, you know, numerically?
Well, for example, the politicisation issue is really interesting because we asked it in relation to LGBT people generally and then in relation to trans people. So 75% of people said that the government and opposition should not politicise LGBT people. But when we asked the same question specifically in relation to trans people, it actually went up to 86%, which tells me that, you know, generally there's, you know, empathy, that people see that this is punching down on an even more marginalised group perhaps than LGBTQ plus people. And, you know, some really encouraging stats such as that 89% of people agree that LGBT people deserve to live with dignity and respect, and acknowledgement that even though Australia is generally an accepting place and tolerant place, that about 64% of people do still experience discrimination. In relation to trans people particularly, 91% of people agreed that trans people should be free to live their lives in a way that makes them happy, and that 81% of people who are trans deserve the same rights and protection. Now, we did really similar polling in 2022, and we actually repeated these questions, and some of them actually went up a couple of percentage points as well, in terms of the support for trans people. Even in relation to an issue that has unfortunately become quite divisive around healthcare, 76% of people supported trans people being able to access the healthcare that they need.
Fantastic. So when you look at these figures, Heather, I mean, they're very significant figures, and Redbridge, they know it, you know, they're very good pollsters.
Yes.
You know, they really, and you know, Redbridge is run by people from both sides, and sometimes the middle of the aisle, so they're not allowing bias to come into it. So when you see those figures,
that's exactly right.
And when you see those figures, and then you see some of the comments made, you know, by fringe politicians, and also mainstream politicians, do you ever, like, I look at that and I think, hang on, how is, you know, that 10 or 20% that hasn't supported, you know, these questions, they're the people that are going to vote for the fringe candidates and the ratbags, aren't they?
I think you're probably right there. And to be honest, most people don't vote on these issues. So the other part of the polling was to find out what people actually cared most about, as well as in the focus group. So this is no surprise. It's a cost of living election, healthcare, housing. These are the things that people deeply care about. And in fact, even in the focus groups, when these, you know, certainly LGBT issues didn't even factor in people's issues they were talking about. But even with really significant probing, there was no interest or activation with people talking about this. In fact, people started to get frustrated around why are these conversations around woke issues happening? Because this is so far off the mark. You know, this is so far off the price of eggs that it actually gets met with frustration, actually, by a lot of voters. And the polling that we had as well in the in the survey, either we found it would not influence the vote to talk about LGBT issues in a negative way, but if anything, it would be a turn-off for some voters. So, for example, those politicians who express views critical of transgender Australians, around 40% of voters says that that means that they wouldn't vote for them. 44% in relation to views critical of gay, lesbian, bisexual Australians. Most people, it's not what's going to take them, it's not going to influence too much at the polls, but if there's strong views against that are publicly expressed, that's a real risk for politicians. And certainly when we're going to Canberra and we're talking to politicians, we are sending this message as well. So far, we're mostly hearing that that message is being heard by at least Liberal and Labor.
Heather, it's Kenny. It's fantastic to hear this really encouraging news from you this morning. I think after speaking to Wayne from the Energy Council earlier, I'm going to unilaterally declare this International Optimism Day. But you were just talking about when you visit Canberra and the pollies. So it sounds like from what you're saying, the general population is moving forward. Do you get a sense that our pollies are too, or are they still dragging their heels and dragging their knuckles on this issue?
I'm feeling fairly positive after conversations that we've had. I think that this polling reflects what, previous polling, even just a couple of years ago. I think it's generally understood that punching down on vulnerable communities doesn't get you too far, but particularly when it's so far outside of the scope of what people care about in their everyday lives. Most voters are weighing up, okay, how am I going to get through the next 3 years, and what party is going to help me more with things like childcare, the cost of everyday items, etc. And so, yes, I think that it is being heard. I don't think it's being heard by Clive Palmer and extreme parties, but I don't think they necessarily have the goal of electing a lot of people either. So I just don't think it's been a particularly successful in Australia. It is not a successful strategy, particularly because of there's compulsory voting. It's easy to draw comparisons with America, where they maybe have had a bit more success, but Donald Trump only had about 30% of the vote, and 30% of Americans actually voted for him. So it's a very different situation here in Australia, I feel.
It is, and Equality Australia is holding an election forum on the 15th of April. Go online for people to look at it. What's important, it's really positive, sharing these results with us, Heather. And I say to members of our community, how you vote is your business, right? But do your research. Don't vote for a candidate that has policies that regard you as a second-class citizen, right? Don't vote for them. Now, people will say, oh, my sexuality doesn't define me. No, it shouldn't. But for some of those candidates, it does. Right? So don't support them. Don't encourage them. Right? You've got lots of choices. Just don't reward bad behaviour and hate. It has a dividend and it's not one you want. Thank you, Heather, for making your time today. I really appreciate it. Good luck with the forum on the 15th, and you have a nice weekend.
Thank you very much.
Cheers. You are on Saturday Magazine, Joy 94.9, with Macca, Kenny and Tamsin. Stay with us when we come back. We're not continuing to talk about politics, even though we're going to talk scams.
Come on. Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.